Nikki Lawrence.
Thank you. All right. Well, it's exciting to be with you tonight. In all the rain and yuck out there, we're going to come in here and be strengthened by the Word. Tonight, we're going to be talking about turning trials into triumph, trusting God in impossible situations. A few weeks ago, I was reading in Psalm 77. I was just doing my Bible reading, and as I was getting to the end of the psalm, this idea about how God opens up things when they're impossible just jumped out at me, and I really felt like the Lord was breathing on it and talking to me and talking to us about how sometimes you come to a time in your life where it feels like there's a wall, there's a door, there's something that's hindering you from going forward, and you can't get past it. It looks like there's no way past it. You've done everything you know, and it's just there. But, you know, God's Word tells us that we can be victorious, that we can triumph. And we're going to look at Psalm 77 tonight and talk about turning our trials into triumphs. Now, we all have trials at times. Maybe you've had discouragement. Maybe you've been disappointed with God. You could have things that, jobs that haven't opened up, all sorts of things that may be in your life that feel like closed doors, and they feel like trials to you and trouble. So we're going to take God's Word out of Psalm 77, and we're going to go sort of verse by verse, although we're not going to do every single verse, although it's not very long, so read it when you get home. But we're going to talk about principles in God's Word for this. Now, this psalm is written by Asaph, that we know, and it starts with lamentation. Now, don't you just love it when a psalm starts with lamentation? So if you don't know what that means, you know, you can almost hear it in the word. We lament. There's sorrow. It starts with lamentation, but it ends with joy. So that's what I want to take you through tonight. Actually, some of the truths we're going to look at are hard truths. They're difficult truths, but we're going to end with joy and telling you how to have joy when you're going through trials. So beginning in Psalm 77, the psalmist wrote, "I cried out to the Lord with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord." So actually, this first verse kind of summarizes the whole chapter if we look at it. I cried to the Lord. I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. He gave ear to my voice. So be encouraged tonight. If you're praying about something, if you're crying out to the Lord, he is listening. He is hearing you. And that scripture emphasizes that by saying it twice there. There's a lot of emphasis on, I cried with my voice. I cried with my voice. And we're going to talk about prayer tonight too. And in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. So when you're in trouble, if there's trial, if there's tribulation, if there's discouragement, this is what we all have to do. I sought the Lord. And sometimes we find ourselves calling our friends first or worrying first or doing a whole list of other things, and we realize, I didn't seek the Lord. I didn't stop and seek the Lord. Now, I know some of you have done that too. It's just like it dawns on us in a little bit. I didn't seek the Lord. But we must cry out to the Lord in the day of our trouble, because he is the one who can help us. So in this life, we will have trouble. Peter wrote to disciples, to fellow believers in 1 Peter 4, and he said, "Beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you." But we do a lot of times. Something happens in our life, and the first place we find ourselves in is, what did I do to deserve this? Why has this happened to me? I don't get it. Why would you allow this, Lord? And we know that not everything comes from the Lord, but he does allow things to test us. And Peter, writing to other believers, that he called them beloved, and he said, don't think it's weird. He said, don't think it's a really strange thing if you're going through some stuff. And they actually were. He used the word fiery trial, and many of them were being burned for their faith. So they endured some things we have no idea about. But we need to take this word too. Sometimes we are going through things and our faith is tried. There are trials. There are troubles. There are difficult things in our life. But we have answers and we'll find them in this psalm. And they are permitted. These troubles are permitted by God. I love 1 Peter 1:7. You know, Peter knew a lot about difficulties, didn't he? He ended his life in a difficult way. He said, in 1 Peter 1:7, he said, the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes. You know, we all think gold is very important, very precious, very valuable. But Peter says, the genuineness of your faith is much more precious than gold that perishes. Though it is tested by fire. How many of you have been tested by fire? You know, we all have, or we all will be, at times tested by fire. Be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So this testing that we go through is not for no purpose. But it will end, if we walk through it correctly, to the praise and honor and glory of Jesus Christ. So that is something we can offer him in heaven when we offer those crowns to him that we have. So you will go through trials and troubles. Remember I said I'm going to get you in the Lamentations and we're going to come out and joy. So hang on. Next, these troubles definitely will test us. So the psalmist, while he's writing and talking about his troubles and his trials, he says, well, will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? He was struggling with some things. He had doubts. He had questions. And he brought them to God. God is not afraid of your doubts and questions. If you're honest about them and bring them in humility to the Lord, he will bring you through those. But these troubles that the psalmist was going through, they were really testing him and causing him to struggle, causing him to doubt. And he's pouring his heart out to the Lord about it. He's talking about emotional struggles. He goes on to say, my soul refused to be comforted. Spiritual struggles he talked about. I complained. My spirit was overwhelmed. Physical troubles. He says, you have to hold my eyelids up. I can't even speak. I mean, this was a very difficult time in his life and maybe the life of the nation. We don't know exactly what's going on in his life. But he was going through a trial, and the trial was testing him. So this morning, I know I'm going to be teaching about this tonight, and I did Walmart pickup. How many of you do Walmart pickup? Okay, anybody? Okay, a few people. Now, it's glorious. If you haven't done it, you need to do Walmart pickup. Sometimes I like to go to Walmart and just meander up and down all the aisles, but I tend to buy a lot more things when I do that because I see them, you know. But sometimes I love this. So this morning at 5:30, I'm sitting in my chair, click, 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 putting all this stuff in my basket, and then I tell Walmart what time I want to pick it up, and no stress. Walmart pickup. So I drive up. It's time to pick up my groceries, and I let them know I'm coming, and a car pulls up. I drive up and park. A car pulls up on my left. In a moment, a car pulls up on my right. And then I see them bring to the car on my left his groceries. And I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. And then in a few minutes, they bring to the car on my right their groceries. And then I see them bringing these people, and I'm looking at my app, I'm thinking, did I do that right? Is something wrong? Is my Walmart pickup not working? And about that time, I realized I was being very impatient and entitled. All I had to do was just drive up. Just drive up. I didn't even have to swipe my card. I did it on the app. 5 minutes, my groceries are in my car. And the Lord reminded me that whether it's little bitty things or great big things, it shows us what's in our heart. And sometimes those things need to change. So the Lord brings them to the surface. Like when gold is purified, what happens is the heat is applied to it and all the impurities come to the top where they can be scooped off and the gold can be used. That's what God does for you. That's what He does for me. So in little bitty things, in great big things, He will test your faith, and He has a purpose in it. He wants to make you more usable for His kingdom. So tune in and pay attention, because your faith will be tested. I was thinking about Joseph. The scripture tells us in Psalm 109 that until the time his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. So you know the story of Joseph, and he has this dream when he's young, and all of his siblings are going to bow down to him and his parents, and he tells the dream, and then he just goes this series of 20 years of one bad thing after another happening to him. Everything but what he saw in the dream happened. The dream said he was going to be exalted. He's going to have a place of honor. People are bowing down to him. But he went to the pit. He went to the prison. Everything negative happened to him. So the word, actually, that he received in the dream challenged him, tested him. Have you had that happen? You believe in God for something? A dream he's put in your heart? Something he spoke to you? And it's not happening? And everything but that seems to be happening? Remember this scripture, the word the Lord gives you can test you. And the test is to deepen our faith, create testimony, make us stronger. Those things are not always so much fun. You know, I don't really like working out on weights. Eddie's been working out on weights more, and he's trying to get me to, you got to build strength. We got to build strength. We're getting older. We got to build strength. So I'm trying to work out on weights a little bit. I don't really enjoy it, but it's kind of necessary, right? It's necessary for our life for us to go through tests and trials and have our faith strengthened so that we will have a testimony, we can be helpful to others. So many ways God will use that, but He definitely will use it. Well, I was thinking about this and thinking about when in our lives had we gone through things that tested our faith. Certainly one of those seasons was when Eddie got filled with the Holy Spirit and the Lord began to lead us to leave our church. And it was testing everything inside me. We would leave our income. We would leave our home. We would leave, you know, the role that we were playing inside the community. And so that was very challenging, and I was struggling with that. And some of you heard me tell that, how I was afraid, and yet I was seeing God put all the pieces in place, and I'm going, oh, my goodness, it's happening. Whether I want this or not, I see it. I see God's hand. I knew His hand. I could see what was happening. And I had a dream, you know, about some of the things the Lord was going to do. And God gave me faith, but my faith was tested because it's not natural to step out and not have an income. But God proved so faithful. God spoke to us that we would not be stepping down, but we'd be stepping up. And that's exactly what happened. So our income increased, our blessings increased, everything in our life went up, but the word of the Lord tested. The word of the Lord tested. There were trials, but we came through them. Next, there are spiritual tools that you can use. So one of the beautiful things about God is that He equips us. He gives us solutions. He gives us answers. The Word of God is filled with all kinds of things that you can do to strengthen your spiritual life. We're just going to talk about two of them. Right now we're going to talk about prayer and remembrance. But they're in this psalm. They're right in the psalm that we're reading. And so I wanted to look at those. And again, starting with that, going back to the first verse where the psalmist said, I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me in the day of trouble. I sought the Lord. So be sure you're seeking the Lord in the day of trouble, crying with your voice. Sometimes I pray silently many times, but I think there are times when you need to cry aloud. You need to use the sound of your voice, put your prayer in the atmosphere, get other people to pray with you. Prayer is one of the greatest spiritual tools that you have at your hand to use when you're going through trial. It is your way to communicate with God, and God will communicate with you. So don't forget to pray when you're going through things. Secondly, remembrance. I want to go through a whole set of scriptures here because I was amazed at how many times this idea came up. So look at it with me and just look at every time you see the word remembered. So here's the psalmist. He's struggling with God. He's struggling with his faith. He's praying. He's in trouble. And he said, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart. My spirit makes diligent search. And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. So the psalmist, in this time of prayer, he starts remembering. And he starts remembering who God is. He starts remembering what God has done. He starts to remember God's promises. He remembers the history of Israel with God, his personal history with God. And you see him begin to come into this joy and this praise. He's starting to shift. His mindset is starting to change. Because here he's like, you're a great God. You're the God who does wonders. He's starting to remember who God is. So remembrance is very important when you're going through a trial. One of the most important things you can do is to remind yourself of all God has done for you in your life. Just ask him. Start at birth and go forward and thank God for everything that you can remember that he has done for you. And remember what he has done for your people, your family, your church. Remember what he's done for his people in the word that we see. Call those things to remembrance. It will build your faith. It will strengthen you. It will help you in trial. It will connect you to the truth that God is for you, not against you. He is going to be faithful. He's going to bring you out. He's going to bring you through. Even if you feel like you're up against a wall, God is real. I love that the scripture shows us real people who have real struggles and they encounter a real God and they find real answers. God's word is so transparent to let us see how people struggle and to show us that God doesn't condemn us for those struggles, but he will strengthen us if we turn to him. And that's what happens here to the psalmist. He remembers. I found this quote that I really liked about remembrance, so I'm going to read it to you. The faith practice of remembering centers our attention on what God has done in our lives deepening our assurance that God is with us here and now, and expanding our hope and anticipation for what God will yet do. Amen. I thought that was beautiful. So prayer and remembrance are two of the tools that you can use. So I told you I'm going to bring you through the Lamentations and out to the joy. So here we go. Our troubles are sometimes impossible situations, but nothing, say it with me, is impossible with God. Nothing. The psalmist, coming to the end of the psalm, he's thinking about all these things and God's faithfulness, and he said, your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, your footsteps were not known. He starts to remember how God brought the children of Israel through the Red Sea. That's his heritage, the heritage of his people. And so he's thinking, wait a minute, I may have this trial, our nation may have this trial, but we serve a God who makes impossible things possible. And as this scripture says, your way was in the sea. Now let's think about that story with the Israelites. And I was reading it today in Exodus. And interestingly, God had the children, had Moses camp the children of Israel right by the Red Sea. So he set them up. Okay. You know, they're excited. They're leaving Egypt. They'd already been through all these things, so they're camping out here by the Red Sea, and what happens? Here come the Egyptians. So put yourself in their place. The Red Sea's in front of me. Egyptians are behind me. They're coming. There is no way to go. There is no path. There is no way forward. It is impossible. I would go back, but that's no answer. I can't go forward. What do I do? Moses cries out to God, and Moses assures the people before he even knows what God is going to do that it's going to be okay. God is going to take care of them. Moses talks to God, and God tells him what to do. God parted the Red Sea, and they walked through. There was no door to go through. There was no opening. There was no possibility, but God made one. God does impossible things. So often we are just tied to the natural and we can't see the supernatural. We forget when we're in a trial that this is not all there is. This is not the only power I have. I have supernatural power through the Holy Spirit and through God. And so there are answers that I can't see. There are things that God can do that I cannot see with my natural eye, that I can't even think of in my natural mind. But God knows the way forward. So if you're in a situation and you don't think there's a way forward, rehearse these things. Remember all God has done. Pray. Cry out to the Lord. Use your faith. Allow God to test your faith and trust that somehow, some way, even though you don't see it, you don't know it, God will make a way. I was thinking about this and I thought, you know what? God could have had the Red Sea parted when Israel got there. What would that have been like? So they got there. God's led them all this way. And what if there was just an opening and they just walked through? He did something in the testing. He tested their faith. They failed again. Moses didn't fail, but they failed again. They started moaning and groaning and complaining, and we do that too. Lord, forgive us, but we do that too. But God was merciful, and he showed them that there was a way forward. He'd just done all these plagues, all these things that just happened. They'd seen all this with their eyes. They come out of Egypt after 400 years in bondage, but they forgot. that quickly because they ran into an impossible situation. We have to know that the impossible with man is not impossible with God. We must remember that. But when they got there, every single one of them had to take that step, to step onto the dry ground. I don't think that was probably that easy. Now, it was pretty exciting to see that water part, but if you're stepping in the middle of it and there's a wall of water on your left and a wall of water on your right, that takes some faith. Every one of them had to take their own step of faith to walk through the place that God had provided for them. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses urged the people, and he said, "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them." So why did Moses need to tell the people this? We forget. We tend to forget. We need to remember because that's one of our spiritual tools. But we tend to forget. So Moses cautioned them, don't forget what God has done. You know, you can write it down. That's a great thing to do, is to write down the things that God does for you and does for your family so that you can remember when you come into other difficult times. Some of the other stories in the Bible that came to my mind was Abraham and Isaac. Abraham takes Isaac up. God has told him to offer him. This is his promised child. And at the last minute, God provides the ram. It was impossible. God made it possible. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? It was impossible to survive what they did. But not with God. It's possible with God. What about the woman with the issue of blood? I was thinking she'd been hemorrhaging for 12 years. And yet somehow, when Jesus came by, she had the faith to take hold of that garment. She had a moment when she knew that the impossible could be possible for her if she connected with Jesus. What about Paul and Silas in prison? They're in prison. Folks, those prisons weren't like the prisons we have today. It was a nasty place to be. It was midnight. There was no light. They are singing praise. I don't know if I would be singing praise. I got to tell you, I might be grumbling or I might be afraid. I hope I would be singing praise. And I think God helped them. Obviously, the Spirit of God inspired them. And they're singing praise. And what happens? God opens the door supernaturally. So if you're in an impossible situation, don't lean on your own resources. Lean on the resources of God. Don't lean on the natural. Lean on the supernatural. If you only look at the natural, all you're going to see is the closed door. And that's so discouraging. It's so hard to see the impossible, to see the closed door. But when you start to think about who your God is and what your God has done, all of a sudden faith starts to build inside you. The Holy Spirit starts to breathe on that, and you start to be empowered to believe that the impossible could happen for you. Hebrews tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Word tells us He's no respecter of persons. What He's done for one, He'll do for you. So if you need an impossibility shifted, you need a road where there's not one, you need a path to open up when there's not one, you are of all people most blessed because you know the Lord. You have spiritual power. You have supernatural answers. You are not confined to all the world has. You're living at the right hand of Christ. You have access to the Holy Spirit. You have access to Jesus. Jesus is praying for you. The Holy Spirit is praying for you. So let's look at a couple more of those scriptures just to encourage you. Jeremiah 32:27. the Lord and Jeremiah have been talking, and the Lord says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything?" God invites you to take Him at His word. He invites you to believe. He says, "Hey, I am the God who created everything. You really think there's anything too hard for me?" No. Jesus said in Luke, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Matthew 19, Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." All things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. Get your eyes off your natural circumstances. Put your eyes on God. Begin to believe for supernatural breakthrough, because you serve a supernatural God. Are you willing to take a step like the children of Israel did? Are you willing to step into the impossible? God will open it up. You'll still have to step. Sometimes He opens the door and we still don't walk through because of our fears or our mindsets. But He will open doors for you. Are you willing to step into the impossible? Pray, remember, persevere, and just like the psalmist, you can end in a place of joy as you experience that God is worthy of our praise. He does the impossible. He brings us out. He brings us through. No other people in the world can say that except God's children. Nobody else has a God like that. So tonight, our prayer teams are coming, our worship team coming. And I'm just going to encourage you, whatever is before you, whatever trial, whatever closed door, whatever impossibility, to ask God for the impossible. To stir up your faith by remembering the Word, remembering the truth of God's Word. To be willing to step into what He's asking you to step into. To put aside your complaining and your doubts, your questions, and just believe. Jesus told them, as He called a little child to Himself, and He said, you know, the faith of a little child is what pleases Him. If you can have the faith of a little child, you see, a little child doesn't sit around and think, well, Daddy's not going to take care of me. Daddy's not going to do this, and Daddy's not going to do that. If they have a good daddy, they don't think anything about asking. Matter of fact, they will ask a lot. But Jesus said, if you have faith like that, it is a wonderful supernatural life that you are invited into. So that's what I'm asking you to do tonight. So as our prayer team's coming, our worship team's leading, just respond in any way the Lord leads you. Would you stand?